everything. Everything's a test for you to believe beyond what you're seeing in front of you. You know, Pastor spoke a message a few weeks ago, and he said that there is no God. And that kind of threw me for a loop, because somebody says there is no God, I'm like, wait a minute. You gotta be careful what you're saying here. He said there is no God, but then there is a God. Because God's the God of faith. So what does that mean? That means that God has to be created through faith. See, faith is a seed. Faith isn't believing. Faith is the seed. It's a seed of creation. That's what faith is. It's a seed. It's a seed of Christ, seed of creation. But it takes believing in that seed for that seed to come to fruition. See, the seed of Christ, the seed of faith, is a seed of creation. And when you mingle belief with faith, it creates your hope. You follow me here? Let me read the definition of faith. Because in Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet, but there's a hope for it in there. There's a hope for what we haven't seen yet. There's a hope for a better job. There's a hope for a better house, a hope for whatever you're hoping for. And, you know, hopefully we hope for some spiritual gifts in there as well. But, you know, this, the hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the matter. It's the tangible matter of what's God's promise to us. And it keeps us going. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. So he goes through this thing with faith, and he breaks it down. He talks about the people of old and how they overcame by faith, and how Abraham went out without knowing what's going to happen to him. He went out and trusted God and went into other lands and said, you know what, I'm going to leave everything behind and just go because my heart's telling me to go and I have to follow it. See, in here, we have one job. It's to separate our thinking from our hope. To separate our mind from our hope. Because God said this, I brought a sword to divide soul from spirit. That's what he said. And our mind is always trying to reason against our hope. Our mind is always trying to say, you know what? I know you're hoping for a house, but you know what? Just put another $20,000 into one you're in and just stay in that one. Let's take the easy way out. Let's not take the risk here. Let's play smart. Your mind is always trying to reason and come against your hope. And our job is to separate that and start creating. See, God is a God of faith. So he has to be created. He has to be created. He's not created until we create him through faith. See, if you could see him, feel him, and touch him, there's no faith there. You could see him, feel him, and touch him. But you have to create God through faith by believing. And we give truths in here. See, God is truth. So what creates God is truth. Am I making sense? So if truth creates God, then how do we have that truth become life to us? It's through application. How does truth become life to you unless you apply it? unless we apply it in our lives, unless we start talking to ourselves and saying, oh, no, I'm a child of God. I have a promise. I know what the world's saying is going to happen, but that's not what's in here. See, the gift of not looking out there, but living in here is what we're trying to bring through, is living inside of you, living in that hope, because only living in here will you find peace, joy, and righteousness. See, Pastor spoke a message and he said, listen, it's like you're going to be an Olympic, if you're an Olympic gold winner, you don't just go out there and, let's say you want to swim for Olympic gold. You don't just go out there not knowing how to swim and jump in a pool and start, you know, how do you start? You start by jumping in a pool and swimming a couple laps. And then you come out and you're tired and you get cramped up and you might be like, oh, you know what? That was kind of tough. I don't know if I want to go back there tomorrow and keep going forward with this. But if you don't keep going back and going in the pool and swimming and swimming and swimming and swimming, you're never going to build up a tolerance. You're never going to build yourself up. You're never going to become an Olympic gold winner if you don't practice. It's impossible. So Pastor was talking about you overcome. You go through an obstacle and you overcome, and you have a victory there. And it's called actually growing fruit, because what is fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is peace, joy, and righteousness. And only in that atmosphere will God create through faith. God cannot create in chaos. He can't create in turmoil. If our mind's always going 1,000 miles an hour and we have no peace, he's not going to create. See, applying the truth of God will cause it to be part of your foundation. Always applying. And Pastor talked about it and he said, you know, you can gain, I call it the fruit. But by going through tough times and always applying truth, always saying, no matter what's happening out there, telling yourself the truth of God. All things work together for good for those who love God. All things are going to work together. God will never by any means hurt you. He has a plan prepared for you. See, it says in the scripture that you have to believe that God loves you and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So my focus in the message is about fruit, because the fruit will actually allow you to believe in the seed of faith or the hope that he put in you. See, everybody has a hope in them. God himself took you aside, you and him by yourselves, and he sat down with you. And he started writing a plan on your heart. He himself took his hand and started writing a plan on your heart. And he said, this is your life. This is what I have for you. He took time to take you by yourself. It's not the same plan. I don't have the same plan Tim has. You don't have the same plan your wife. Everybody has a separate plan. And God took every one of us alone in an intimate place and said, now I'm going to write this on your heart. And this is going to be your plan for your life. And now I'm going to give you the foundational truths that you can apply that are going to bring forth this plan. Because if you're not tried and you're not tested, what good are we? See, I can preach to you all day long till I'm blue in the face, and you can get a ton of truth. But if you don't apply it, if you don't test it, if you don't make it part of your thinking, it's no good for you. All it is just head knowledge. It never becomes life because we don't apply it. But see, sitting inside of every one of us is a life that God wrote with his own hand. And all he wants from you is for you to receive everything that he wrote on your heart. It's just that easy. Now, how do we get there? It's all about fruit. See, if you're not bearing fruit, God says he cuts the limb that's not bearing fruit and he throws it into the fire. That's what he says. He says, I'm going to read to you in Galatians 5:22 what the fruit of the Spirit is, because it's vital that we know this. So Galatians 5:22, it says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. See, Rachel spoke it today. Everything's a test. Everything's a test. Every time you get behind the wheel of your car and someone in front of you irks you and you get upset and you yell and you scream, or someone at Walmart's in front of you and they're using whatever they're doing, they're just holding you up. Sometimes we even wish harm upon them. Listen, let's get real. If you're not honest with yourself, you're never going to be healed. You have to be honest with yourself. We get pissed. Sometimes the guy in front of me, I'm like, yo, bud, if you don't get over, you're a dead man. And you get angry. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? And pastor said to me a long time ago, he said, Sam, listen to me. I'm going to give you a trick. Just stay two car lengths behind the guy in front of you, and you stay there. And don't creep up on him. Just stay there and watch what happens. And I ease my car back, and I'm driving behind this guy, and I'm like, all right, I'm not angry anymore because I'm not pushing them. You know, when you're behind somebody, you feel like you're actually pushing them. You know, you're like, should I push them? Maybe I won't push them. Should I push them? I'll push them a little bit. And you ease back and you're fighting. You're fighting yourself. And we lose our peace and we lose our joy. And everything that we've attained up to that point, all the fruit we've gotten, we just threw it all away. All the fruit that we've gotten, we just threw it all away. Because of one moment. Pastor said, yeah, you think you're in control. You think you have control of yourself. Lose your keys one day. Lose your keys. See what happens when you're late for work and you lose your keys. See how much control you have of yourself. It's crazy. It's easy to have control when you're around people who you don't know. And in church here, because you're here with us. But around your loved ones. Around the ones that you see every day. How do we act around them? How do we communicate with them? How do you communicate with your loved ones? Just think about it. Think about it. We're supposed to have this fruit. And this fruit, without the fruit, the atmosphere for God to create is not there. See, if you're pushing the guy in front of you and you're pissed off and you're in turmoil, is God really in there in peace creating in your life? No. He's like, yeah, I'll wait till you're done. I'll be over here. I can't be amongst this. This is disgusting. He's like, pew. And I'm up there. Oh, this guy has no idea. I'm late. You know, God, you got to understand, God. He goes, hey, I understand everything. He understands. But everything's a test. You know, I said it before. We're in a war. It's not a game. This is a war that we're in. And if we're not preparing ourselves every day to fight the battle every day, you're going to lose. And you're never going to attain what God has for you in your heart. He took time to write a law. God took time to write a law in your heart, to write a life, because he loves you that much. And he said, I don't want you to miss a thing. I want you to get everything that I have for you. But it takes some work on your part. You have to be involved in this. We can't just sit back and expect this truth to just, you have to meditate on it. You have to be in it. You have to be soaking it up. Listen, if you're fighting a war every day, and I send you out there with no weapon, and they're shooting at you, what are you fighting with? You have no gun, you have no ammunition, you have no grenades, you have nothing. You're going out there fighting a battle, and they're throwing grenades, and they're shooting you, and you're like just getting shot because you're trying to live out there. You're not living within you. You're not seeing who you are, and the truth of God are your weapons. The truths of God are your weapons. They are. But the fruit of God is everything. Because if we don't have self-control, it's over. If we don't have peace and joy, what are we going to do? God says, you take care of the little things you can take care of. The little things, like yourself. And I'll take care of everything else. See, there's a life for us, but we have to believe that he loves us. See, a lot of times we think God's sitting there, you messed up again. You screwed up again. This is what God's saying. Just a little further. You're almost there. You're doing great. I'm so proud of you. Oh, this is my beloved son and daughter who I'm so pleased with. You're doing great. You didn't miss a thing. You didn't miss a thing. You're exactly where I wanted you from the day you were born. You're in my arms. You're exactly where I want you. Let's go. Come on. A couple more steps. We're almost there. You're going to make it, I promise. That's what God's saying. If you think he's saying anything else, you're wrong. He said, neither do I condemn you. There's a woman caught in adultery in the scriptures, and she was caught in adultery. And back then, it was a stone. They killed you for that. They stoned you to death. If you were caught and you're an unmarried woman and you're sleeping with a married man, you're going to get stoned and killed. Well, this woman was caught in adultery. And the people came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what should we do with this woman? The law says we're supposed to stone her and kill her. And he said to the people, let he who's without sin cast the first stone. Let him who's perfect throw the first stone and kill her. They started writing in the sand some things, probably what they were doing wrong, everybody there. Okay, here's yours right there. You want to throw a stone? That's what you do right there. He didn't expose them. He wrote it in the sand so they could see it individually. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. We serve a God of love. We serve a God of peace. We serve a God of joy. And he wants us to be transformed into him. Into him. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. When you see me, you see the Father. Because the foundational truths about God were the same ones about Jesus. He believed. See, when you believe, and belief hits that seed of faith, or that seed of Christ, or that seed of hope, there's an explosion that happens. It's the same explosion that happens when a sperm hits a seed in a woman. It's the same exact explosion, except one's in the natural and one's in the spirit. But belief causes that seed of faith to birth you in the spirit. And the more you believe, see, he said, I've given every one of you a measure of faith. We all have a little bit, or you might have a lot. I don't know how much you have. I'm not the judge of faith. Trust me. I'm not casting the first stone. You know? But every one of us has faith. But the only way you build that faith up, and the only way that faith can grow and produce the hope or the life that God gave you is by practicing self-control and keeping your peace and your joy. It's that simple. Not in public, in your house, around your children, around your husband, around your wife, around your mother, around your father. How about the way you treat yourself? How about the way we look at ourselves? It's kind of funny. We're the biggest judge of ourselves that there could possibly be. You know, when Paul said, he said, why do I do what I don't want to do? Why do I say what I don't want to say? Why do I walk away from that going, oh my God, why am I so stupid? What is wrong with you? Why are you so dumb? Oh. You got to set yourself free. You got to forgive yourself. See, Pastor said it a little while ago. He said, we've all are filled with wounds from growing up. And it makes you look at yourself in a strange, skewed way that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. But remember this, the Bible says that God chose you. You didn't choose him. He said he chose you. The eyes of the Lord went to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a heart that's perfect towards him. And he picked you. Miracle right there, Tim and Allie. Allie was in what state? Rhode Island. Tim was in Jersey. God wanted Allie. He wanted Allie. He was okay with Tim and Allie, but he wanted Allie. God wanted Allie. Had nothing to do with Tim. This is the truth. It had nothing to do with Tim. Allie's heart was right towards God in Rhode Island. And God said, I'm bringing her here to me because I love her that much. She deserves a life because she was tried and she was tested and she was found in the faith. I don't know how we do it. I don't know how. It's a miracle that we have even this much faith. It is. I look at my life and I'm like, man, God, thank you so much for choosing me. Thank you. You could have went to the guy next to me. He looks a lot better than I do. He's got his stuff all together, looks like to me. Wife, kids, car, the two-car garage, the nice job. But he's in hell. He's miserable. His eyes grow throughout the whole earth looking for a heart that's perfect towards him. See, we have to cultivate fruit. See, it says in here, in John 15, it says, my desire for you is that you would bear much fruit. And the biggest part of all it says is not only that, but that your fruit would remain. Not that you just bear much fruit, but that your fruit would remain. That your fruit would become part of your foundation. That your fruit will be a part of you. And you know, one of the biggest problems here is complaining, murmuring. God, Israel was in Egypt in slavery. Slavery. They were slaves being whipped, being trodden, being killed, being treated like dogs. So God heard his people crying, and he sent a Savior. And the Savior delivered them and took them out of Egypt into the desert. Set them free. Fed them from fresh manna from the sky. Fresh food. Listen to this. Fresh food fell every day from the sky to feed these people. It just fell. It says manna fell from the sky. I don't know what that means exactly, but you know, I got my picture in my head. Whatever you want to picture, go ahead. But manna fell from heaven, and then it says that they drank fresh water and even came from a rock one day. They drank and they were fed every day, and their clothes never wore. Their shoes never wore. Their clothes never wore. They were protected, and they were guided by a pillar of fire in the day and of night and a fire of smoke in the daytime. They were guided by God. And yet, because it wasn't happening fast enough, Rachel, because it wasn't happening fast enough, they murmured and complained, and they never saw the promised land. So it held them out from the promise of God, so it holds us out from the promise of God. Murmuring, complaining, not being happy with what you have, looking for what you don't have, complaining, murmuring. See, I can't tell you enough. I mean, I'm going to tell you what I do. And this is just what I do. You do whatever you believe to do, but I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I listen to these messages every day. That's my weapon. Every day I have a message on my car, every single day, or I have it in my phone. It's easy to get the message now, right in your phone, in your car, CDs. Rachel came through, and now we can listen to it anywhere we want. And there's no reason why you should never be unarmed again. See, it says in the scriptures, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed? Do you transform yourself? No. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not saying transform yourself. I'm going to make this real, real easy for you. It's so simple. Just put a message on. Just keep putting them on every day. I don't know how I could get through it if I didn't. If I miss a day in the message, my mind starts messing with me, and I'm like, oh, here we go. What's happening here? Why am I doubting? Why am I, you know? Now, eventually, the more I listen to the messages, the more they become part of me. But it's going to take a process. You know, a doctor decides to be a doctor when he's a kid. He has to go to school. Doesn't just decide to be a doctor when he's a doctor because he just decides to. He has to go get colleged up. He has to go get trained and taught, and you speak a new language. It's a whole different language you got to learn in medical terms. And you don't just decide and become. You got to be taught. And the more you're taught, the more the doctor language becomes part of you. And pretty soon they're talking, you don't even know what they're talking about. They're talking some language. What are you saying? Because they've been taught. And now their mind is renewed. The same thing with us. The only way to renew your mind is to be transformed through the truth that we speak in here. What did I say was God earlier? Truth. So how are you transformed? You got to listen to these messages over and over and over and over and over until they become part of you. You know, I listened to the same message for 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks, every day, and I couldn't get enough. Usually I got sick of them. I didn't get sick of this one. It was 2 weeks every day. Listen to it sometimes twice a day. And I'm spitting this stuff up, and people are coming and buying cars, and I'm nailing them with this stuff, and they're like, what? And I'm like, there's no God. They're like, what? There's no God. And I'm hitting them with this stuff because it's in me now. And when it becomes in you, you get this motivation. You get this power inside of you, and it's got to speak. See, when a new seed comes in you of revelation, it becomes life, and it motivates you, and it moves you, and it even moves your mouth. It'll move your mouth. You'll be like, what? He said, take no thought what you're going to say. I'll give you the words in that hour what you need to say. But you can't make it any easier. All you got to do is listen to these messages over and over and over and over. There's a lot of them. There's a ton of messages in there. But you might camp on one for a while. You keep on that message until the butterflies go away. I'm going to say butterflies because that's what I feel like the Spirit, when I'm getting ministered to, it feels like there's butterflies. You feel this motivation, this joy, this, oh my God, it's like life coming into you. And then when you're done, you walk around with that life and it stays in you until you need the next level. See, He feeds us with that presence until it's time to move to another revelation. See, He's constantly moving us with peace, moving us with joy. You listen to a message, you're going to receive peace and joy until that message is done. And then when you got it, you go to the next one. And you hang out there until the peace and joy kind of starts wavering and you're like, I got to go to the next one. Let God start teaching you by your peace. And don't move until your peace is going. See, we have to learn to cultivate peace and joy in our lives. We cultivate turmoil. We cultivate the other things real well. We could till that ground and get some turmoil going real fast as you want. But everything in life's a choice. We have the power to choose every day how you're going to live. And if you have a choice of walking out of the house and going with weapons or no weapons, I'm taking the weapons. Because I can't fight the world. I can only fight me. You can't control anything in the world. We've said it a million times, except for yourself. All you can control is you. I can't control my job. I can't control anything else. I can't control your children, my daughter, nothing. You can't control anything but you. And if you keep controlling yourself and keep that place of peace and keep that place of joy and keep listening to these messages and keep getting them in you, then that belief is going to keep mingling with your faith, and it's going to be creating the hope that God put inside of you. That's the goal of this ministry, is that you would receive all that God has for you. That's all we want for you. We don't want anything from you except for that. And that's weird, you know? That's all because we got it, and you got it, and all you we want more. Do we want more? We have to want more. This can't be enough. This is a relationship that grows and grows and grows on levels and levels and levels. And even when you're in heaven, it's going to keep growing and growing on levels and levels and growing and levels. And it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. We're going to be transformed into the image of God. Image of truth. I keep saying God, but people are like, God. In the image of truth, peace, joy, righteousness. Amen? Everybody put your head, bow your heads. If you don't mind, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, Father. I just ask that you give us that desire to get in your message more and more, Father, that you would grow fruit in us and that our fruit would remain, Father. We pray for Pastor Jim and his children right now in Florida. We pray for his sister Dana, Father, that her sickness, Father, would be healed. That you would have Pastor be a miracle sign and wonder down there in Florida. In your name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Enjoy your day.